Kevin, you just threw this together. Kevin Richter, ladies and gentlemen, kudos to you because this is the best Bears introduction ever. It's Wendy Snyder. It's Dane Neal, who is in for Bill Left today. And Adam Hoge is on the line reporting from the Bears. What was it? A press conference that went on earlier?
Hey, guys. Yeah. Nice job, Kevin. That was good.
Wasn't that fantastic?
Yeah, this is the annual kind of goodbye press conference at Hal's Hall where the general manager, head coach, if they're still employed, which they are this year, address the media. And then we did hear from George McCaskey, the Bears chairman, today too, which was a pleasant treat as well. So we at least got their reaction to what was a dismal 3-13 season.
All right. So many questions. I know this happened at 11 o'clock this morning, so some people have gotten the news. But the first thing I think everyone thought of when this this goodbye conference was happening, what's going to happen with John Fox and what's going to happen with Jay Cutler? Nothing happened.
Nothing happened yet. Let's start with John Fox. The decisions coming down from both the general manager, Ryan Pace, and above him with this organization is that they are going to stay the course. They think, at least with the main players here, that there is progress being made with the roster, albeit slow progress, that they, and George McCaskey talked about this with us too, he really likes what Ryan Pace has done so far, and he thinks that John Fox is the right guy to coach up the players that Ryan's bringing in. I think the mistake that maybe these guys have made over the last couple of years is not being more open about the fact that this is a huge rebuilding effort that they are undergoing. Maybe they didn't realize how big it was when they first signed up for this, but it's obviously turned into that, and they were not as open and honest about it as maybe Theo Epstein was with the Cubs, and where everyone kind of knew that, hey, this team's going to be bad for a few years before they get a lot better. And I think they were more open about that today, at least. Well, and they said that, hey, this is going to take some time. I guess the bright side of being 3-13 is it gives you a good draft pick. They're going to get an opportunity in a couple weeks at the Senior Bowl to coach up a lot of these prospects that a lot of other teams don't have that advantage. So they're here. They have a ton of cap space. They're top five in the NFL in cap space. So they have a lot of opportunities this offseason to improve the roster.
You know, and I wanted to ask you, too, and I think here, seeing what's happened with the Cubs, it kind of does allow everybody to have that. It's not an excuse, but that plan.
Thank God there was the Cubs.
Well, the White Sox, you know, that's what they said. Okay, we're going to do that. You know, that worked out all right. Even though it's not as easy as just deciding you're going to be bad and rebuild, it doesn't always lead to success. But I'm wondering, like on the Bears side, you know, if and for someone that covers it on a regular basis, everybody goes through injuries and all that stuff. Did you see as the team got, you know, kind of worse, you know, where it's a week after week of excuses and disappointment that, and we saw it with the last regime here, is that does John Fox still have the locker room? Does he still have the support of the players? He has the resume, obviously. He's done some great things in other places. But did you see throughout the course of the season any kind of loss of the players' confidence in him?
No, and I think that that's a big difference between what happened this year and what happened 2 years ago with Mark Trestman, when it was pretty obvious that this whole thing needed to be blown up and major changes being made, because he did lose the locker room. And it wasn't just him. It was other coaches, and I think that there was a level of disrespect towards the general manager, too, with some of the moves that were made and the way in which they were handled, even just from a public relations standpoint, right? For instance, the Brian Urlacher goodbye. You know, that's one of the all-time greatest players in franchise history, and it wasn't handled in a very good manner, and I think that that upset people within the organization too. So that's where it was a little bit more obvious that changes need to be made. You know, talking to the players after the game in Minnesota on Sunday and talking to the players in the locker room on Monday when they cleaned out their lockers at Hallis Hall, it was pretty obvious that these players still believe in the coaching staff. So I certainly understand why fans are frustrated with John Fox at times. The losing doesn't help. The poor clock management is frustrating, I think. But I think the biggest thing is that the players still believe in these guys. And as long as they do, after 2 years, then I think it's okay to bring back a head coach and show some patience, which is something right now that George McCaskey admitted to us today. It's kind of hard for him to do because he's not a very patient man, but he promised Ryan Pace he would be patient, and so far he's showing that patience for at least one more year.
Sometimes the public perception of a player can be different than maybe the perception in the locker room from the players. And so outwardly, mm-hmm. people felt like, well, the only reason that John Fox or that they have to keep Jay Cutler is because of his contract, you know, that there's dollars that are going to be spent and you need to make use of them. You really don't have anybody better. But when you talk to players or you hear some of the reports that you guys have from the locker room, the players seem to be in at least have his back. You know, they're supportive.
They do?
Of Jay Cutler?
Are they, Adam?
I think for the most part they
really
are.
Really?
I do think for the most part. Now, there's no question that when Jay first got here that it was hard for him to win over those guys, especially on defense, that were here for a long time in that locker room before he got there. I also think Jay was a different person back then. He, you know, wasn't as mature in the way he handled things, and so I do think that continues. He probably still rubs some people the wrong way. Sure, but
maybe he should just smile more.
Yeah, I know.
Seriously,
I know, but unenthusiastic,
and he just really looks like a mope.
But see, Wendy, I think that's a perfect example of why I understand why that frustrates fans, but I don't think his teammates care.
Yeah,
if
I guess
he's smiling. You know
I
what
guess
I mean? Like
that's
that,
true.
That's not something they care about. So
no, they'd probably be worried about it. Boy, that Cutler keeps smiling too much.
Right. We want some mopey guys.
To answer your question earlier, though, Wendy, about kind of what's the plan with Jay.
Yeah.
Look, Ryan Pace talked very openly today about the fact that there could be changes with the quarterback spot, and I don't think that surprises anyone. He said he sat down with Jay on Monday, as he sat down with a lot of players on Monday, and was very open and honest about the possibilities. And it's very possible Jay's not back next season. So the way this is going to play out is, you know, first and foremost, you try to trade him if there is a trade market for Jay Cutler.
Yeah,
and there
who
might
wants
be,
him?
Well, the contract is still relatively friendly when you actually put it in the context of the quarterbacks of the rest of the NFL. Even at his age, I don't know exactly what you can get for him. That market probably hasn't quite been set yet, but there's always a team desperate for a quarterback. We are.
And where do find one?
And they're not the only one. So, but if that's not possible, if no one wants him, well then, I still wouldn't rule out him possibly coming back. I just think letting him go for absolutely nothing only makes sense if you just don't want to pay that money. And if you keep him for all next year and he plays in all 16 games, he'll earn $15 million. But if he does actually play in all 16 games, then he might actually be worth it. You know, so that's sort of the problem that I think is going on with Jay Cutler right now. If I had to say right now, do I think he's back next year? I'd say probably not, but I wouldn't close the door to that idea completely just yet.
Where do they grow quarterbacks, and why can't we find one or nurture one? I know that there have been some backup quarterbacks that have been bandied about coming to the Bears. One, I can't think of his name because I'm not really.
Is it Tony
the ones
Romo?
From this year?
Tony Romo, I've heard, but just fairly recently, a backup quarterback. Yeah, Garoppolo. Thank you, Kevin.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and see, that's so if there's a market to trade Jay, it'll probably be set first by whether or not the Patriots decide to trade Jimmy Garoppolo. And Jimmy Garoppolo played at Eastern Illinois. There is a connection there because Ryan Pace went to Eastern Illinois. I don't know how much that really matters, but it is a connection that if you connect the dots. He was drafted 2 years ago by the Patriots in the second round. By all accounts, he's still a pretty good quarterback. I liked him a lot coming out that year. He's been Tom Brady's backup, so he's been learning from somebody who's pretty good at football.
Exactly.
And I think it's a lot to give up the number three pick for him. But if you ask me, would I rather take one of these rookies out of the draft this year right out of college or a guy who's at least been in the league for a few years, I would rather have Garoppolo. So, but on the other side, if the Patriots are really going to trade him, when do they ever trade somebody who turns out to be a Hall of Famer? You know, there's something wrong there, right? So I think that's something you got to keep in mind, too.
Well, you look at an organization like that, and Adam, I wanted to get your thoughts on, like, what is the value of being in and kind of experiencing kind of the success of an organization like that? Like, the Patriots are really good, and there's got to be some residue based on that process and the system, so there's got to be some benefits in pulling people from that situation. They've gone on and done well, but they've never done, if you look at it, and you kind of hit on it too, is all these people that the Patriots go that are that they let go that are stars on the Patriots, they just continually retool in different incarnations of successful football, and then these other players go off and just be, I guess, back to themselves.
Yeah, it's funny because, like, the guys they do let go, don't really turn out to be all that great. They don't work out for their new team. Then they take guys, for instance, Shea McClellan, who couldn't do anything here, and they've at least found, you know, a small role for him there, and he's made a few big plays for them this year, and that's just one example. They just claimed Michael Floyd, the wide receiver, who just had a DUI in Arizona, and he's already producing and looks like an option for them in the playoffs. So, like I said, they rarely let somebody go who turns out to be pretty good. So I would question why they're trading Jimmy Garoppolo if they do that.
And, I mean, backup quarterbacks have turned out pretty well, Aaron Rodgers. know what I mean? It doesn't happen all the time, but I don't know. I can't put all the blame on Jay Cutler. I really can't.
I don't either. I think he's been – first of all, there's no question it's been a disappointment, right? I mean, you
– The career or just this season?
Well, the career, his time here in Chicago. You thought that was the missing piece, right? Having a quarterback that talented. And they got close. They made it to the NFC Championship game in 2010. But then they lost when Jay got hurt, and it's just never been the same since. So it'll go down as a disappointment if it's over. But I also agree that it's certainly not been all his fault. There's been a lot of mistakes here made by this organization over the last 3-4 years. They destroyed a defense that was really, really good. They made a bad GM hire. They made a bad coaching hire, and they're still recovering from that today. That's why the biggest reason why they're 3-13 was because of the mistakes made a few years ago.
Well, John Fox looks as though he's going to be retained there. Your thoughts, the opinions, kind of the reputation that he had coming in, and then you look at this time here with the Bears, which have been disappointment for a variety of different reasons, and some, you know, that are unforeseen and you can't control and just happen in the NFL. But Adam, like, your thoughts is, do you have a different opinion of John Fox now than you did as for the guy that came in as the coach from those other teams?
Probably. While I don't think I think it's smart that they're bringing him back. I've not been completely impressed with, in fact, I haven't been impressed at all with his game day coaching. You know, I think that there's been some clock management issues. There's, there have been games where they look completely overmatched, not just from a talent standpoint, but from also a scheme standpoint. So I think that there's certainly, while he does a good job during the week, I think getting them ready and to play hard, there's improvements he can make as a coach too. And by the way, just to be clear, John Fox is coming back next year, and unless some other, job opening comes out of nowhere for Vic Fangio and Dow Loggins, the two coordinators, they're going to be back too. John Fox did confirm that today. There could be some changes with assistants below them, but not just John Fox, but the two coordinators will be back despite all the criticism that Dow Loggins, the offensive coordinator, faced this season.
I want to be a Bears fan again. I have a lot of Bears sweatshirts and hats that I would like to wear again.
You want to accessorize on game day.
I do, and it's been such a disappointment. I know it has been to George McCaskey, too. I understand that. My final question to you, Adam Hogue, is with all these injuries that were reported, are you sure the players weren't trying to get injured so they didn't have to go out on the field this year?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Because that's what I would do. I would get so knocked up on that field, and then you sit on the bench, you get paid, and you have to go, hey, I am no part of that.
Well, and that's why I'm not completely surprised that they weren't all that competitive in Week 17 on Sunday against the Vikings. But you know what? I think there's more examples of guys who fought through what they were battling to play in a meaningless game like that. I mean, Willie Young has like 3-4 different injuries and was playing through it on Sunday all the way to the end of the game. So I think there is where you actually have to give them some credit. And like it or not, the amount of injuries that they faced this year were significant enough that it did impact the results on the field. And they're going to look at it. I mean, they keep saying that they're going to research and figure out how they can improve that. I'd like to know how, because it's still football, but you know, Ryan Pace sat up there today and said they're going to do research. They're going to look at what other teams are doing. They're going to try to improve the strength and conditioning, the training, whatever it is, to try to avoid another season with this many injuries.
It's a terrible season, and I wish you're right. I think you mentioned this at the very onset of our conversation, is George McCaskey saying this is a rebuilding period for the Bears. That should have been brought out in the open right away, and I don't think everybody would have so much vitriol for this team right now.
Yeah, I think that's really, and that's just a PR thing. But it was a mistake from the beginning because they kind of, at a very minimum, made it sound like, yeah, maybe in 2 years they could compete. And obviously that's not what happened.
Yeah.
And they should have been much more transparent at the beginning. And transparency has been a big problem, I think, with John Fox to begin with. But they just haven't been transparent. So it's a lot of talk right now, guys, and they need to deliver results pretty soon.
When are you on the air next, Adam Hogue? Because it's always a pleasure to listen to you on the weekends.
I'm looking forward to being back Sunday, 3 o'clock on the beat. It's been a long time because we've been in football season, but it'll be fun to get back at it on Sunday.
We'll be listening. Thank you so much, Adam.
All right, thanks, guys.
Chicago Bears insider. We're lucky enough to have him here on WGN's roster as well, Adam Hogue. We're going to take a quick break and then back with more crazy things. Well, it's not that crazy. Bill Luft's not here today. It's 720 WGN.